chapter 3 in the first verse, 8 verses. There is a time for everything, and everything on earth has its special season. There is a time to be born and a time to die. There is a time to plant and a time to pull up plants. There is a time to kill and a time to heal. There is a time to destroy and a time to build up. There is a time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to be sad and a time to dance. There is a time to throw away stones and a time to gather them. There is a time to hug and a time not to hug. There is a time to look for something and a time to stop looking for it. There is a time to keep things and a time to throw things away. There is a time to tear apart and a time to sew together. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak. There is a time to love and a time to hate. There is a time for war and a time for peace.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I wonder who he's talking about then. So this is an amazing guy. Brilliant. Well, it's a privilege to be here today, and happy 126th anniversary. Is that right? Wow, amazing. You can give yourselves a clap for going that long. It's incredible. Brilliant. And I understand anniversaries. It was Paul and my anniversary just a few weeks ago. 25 years together. Can't believe it that we've made it that far. It's fantastic. Awesome. Really good. It's amazing how many people keep coming up to us going, well done, amazing. God, I can't believe you made it. And stuff like, whoa. Okay, good. And I just want to say as well, you know, thank you massively for a friendship for Lark in the Park over the many years, and a friendship in lots of ways. Just feel like we've really feel connected to you guys and feel a deep sense of love and appreciation for the church here, and definitely for David and Sue, and for this church is just full of legends. You know, people talk about you outside of this church. You know, the all-night security guy Roy is like the famous, most famous security man in history. The hiders, you know, everyone's here. You've got all, you know, Dave, you've got like incredible people in this church, and I'll carry on saying more names, but I'll stop there because otherwise we'll, you know.
No.
But you're just an amazing church, and it's brilliant to know you guys and to journey with you. So
we're going to talk today about planting for the future, the sense that you're here 126 years later for something that none of you actually had anything to do with starting, but you're living on the benefit of people that invested their lives and planted something into the future. And so that you're in a building, you're in a resource and so on, and of course you've adjusted this building and blessed it, and there'll be people probably in 125 years who'll say, oh, this lovely kitchen they built us, and all these, hopefully it might have new equipment in it by then, I don't know, but maybe we won't even cook food in 125 years, who knows, I don't know, maybe there'll be no food, I don't know. Anyway, so I want to talk about that, and also just massively have to say thanks to Sue for all the hard work she does for Lark in the Park and with our volunteers, and it's brilliant to have her in the office, and it's kind of the day we're all really well behaved when Sue comes in our office, so we're all kind of like, no swearing everybody, Sue's here today, no smoking, no drinking, no, they don't do that anyway, but yeah, it's good. It's just the same in Sue's there as every other day. It's good, but it's good to have Sue around. Cool. Okay, so this Ecclesiastes verse we looked at, these verses, are a challenge to the paradox, the kind of the confusion and the sort of position we find ourselves, because here we are in a creation that God has made where God knows all things. He was before all things and is at the end of all things. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And so he's completely in charge of time. But yet we are in charge of our time and what we do with our time while we're here. Now, we can't plot our end necessarily or even our beginning, but the time that we have, we have a responsibility before God to do something with that time. So we live in this kind of crazy paradox, don't we, that God knows all things, he's before, he's after, we're in between all of that, but we are responsible for our time and what we do with the gift of time that we've been given. How we live our lives, what we do with our resources, what we do with our friendships and so on, how we live life in the church. And I think that the Bible uses metaphors to help us. And I want to use the metaphor of this theme of planting for the future and the metaphor of like being a farmer. And I've got some presents for you from New Gen, actually, that Liz has got down there. She's going to just... I don't know if you're allowed to eat... You're allowed to eat chocolates in here, are you? Yeah, it's okay. It's not against Baptist rules or anything. I won't get reported to the Baptist Association and all that sort of stuff. And deacons won't be throwing me out for... Don't leave any litter, please, of course. Anyway, so Liz has got... this is from New Gen, just saying happy anniversary. So there you go. Enjoy it. Good. So the Bible compares the Christian life to like to farming lots of times throughout the scriptures. In Genesis 8, done. Cool. In Genesis 8, in verse 22, the Bible says, "As long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and there will be harvest." Here again, we have another one of those kind of confusing, paradoxical kind of thoughts that there is seed time and there's harvest. And all around the world, harvest is happening and seed time is happening. And they're both happening at the same time. But the Bible sort of clearly says that as long as the earth endures, there will always be planting and there will always be a harvest. Both of those things are happening all the time. In Galatians, in the Message, it says, "Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. Whatever a person plants, they will harvest." So here's this sense that we live, God is through all time, beginning and the end. We're in time somewhere, but responsible for that time. But as long as the earth is continuing, there will be a seed time and there will be a harvest. And then we have to be very careful not to be misled and not make a fool out of God. Not try and pretend before God the way we live our lives, because actually what we plant will be what we eventually harvest. What you plant will be what you harvest. So we're planting for the future. And God has some good principles, I think, of planting and harvesting. Or in the good old days, I suppose we would have called it the law of sowing and reaping. Most of us, if you say the word sowing today, they think of like a needle and thread, but that is so not so. But anyway, when you talk about sowing and reaping, that's the kind of old style before there was machinery. People had to sow seed by hand, didn't they? We all know that. And it was literally called broadcasting. Two separate words, broad and casting. It was when you carried a big bunch of seed in a sack and you would throw it, and the word actually meant to throw it long and wide. To throw it long and wide, to spread it out as far as you could and as wide as you could. And there was a particular way. I once did an illustration with this, and an actual farmer in our church came up to me and said, "No, you don't quite do it. Don't broadcast quite like that." And gave me a... Anyway, no farmers here today. So you kind of chuck it out there, and you chuck it there, and you chuck it there. And that's what you do, and you hope for the best, and you hope it you get on with it. But of course, that term was then picked up later on in modern times to refer to broadcasting in terms of television and radio. That actually what we do is we broadcast a signal. We broadcast it far and we broadcast it really wide. And so when you're broadcasting, you are sowing. We are sowing things. And if you go by the principles of sowing and reaping in your life, if you are wise in your life, you will make sure you don't spend all your life just reaping, that you will also spend your life sowing. Because you won't do any reaping unless you do some sowing. That's just the principle. So for some of us today, we're sitting here thinking, I can't remember the last time I actually led someone to Christ. I can't remember God did some miracle in my life. I can't remember the last time God provided financially for me, because I really, really prayed and asked God, and it seemed like nothing kind of came my way. Now, I think it's because there is a principle of sowing and reaping, and you will only reap what you have sowed, and that's the reality. And I meet lots of stingy Christians, you know, and you might know some of them, I don't know, but I meet a lot of stingy Christians who are kind of a bit angry with God and a bit kind of disappointed with God and a bit fed up, and you know, they're never generous and they're never kind and they never, and I just say to them sometimes, you know, I think you don't need any prayer right now. You actually just need to plant. You need to start planting something. Start planting some generosity and see your life start to change. Start planting some kindness to someone else. Stop making your life all about you. And, you know, we live in an individualistic society, don't we, where we kind of, everything's my. It's my marriage, my car, my house. It's even sometimes in Christianity, we talk about my ministry. Or people say, what is my ministry? It's none of it's ours. It's God's. It's all God's. It's not ours. This isn't our church. It's not your church. It's God's church. Not your people, they're God's people. So this challenge of us sowing and reaping so that there can be a church here in 240, anyway, double this, whatever that is. not a maths teacher, but anyway. I really honestly believe you can use these principles of sowing and reaping in your health. I believe you can use them in your finances. I believe you can definitely use it in your career. I think you can learn how to plant wisely in your career and harvest wisely in your career. And the point I want to make before to get into these principles, whatever you need more of in your life, you need to plant more of in faith. Whatever you want more of in your life, I want to challenge you today to step out and plant more of that in faith. Get out there and broadcast. Get out there and plant in the soil what it is that actually you need. You know, if you want flowers in your garden, what do? You sow some seed. If you want plants to grow up in your garden, you look after those. So you plant it, you look after it, you care for it. So why should it not be any different in the life of us as Christians? So if you need more things to change in your life, I want to challenge you today to plant. And not just plant for yourself, but let's plant for a congregation that will be celebrating 200 and something, whatever, years celebration. So let me just go through a couple. How many?
21,
40. I knew you'd be the person to say that. Surprised it's not come up on the screen. Anyway, thank you, David. Anyway, so everything starts with the seed. This is point number one. Everything starts with the seed. Everything starts with the seed. Turn to the person next to you and say, everything starts as a seed. You can say it like you actually believe it. Everything does start with a seed. Okay? And that is the first principle. Everything starts as a seed. Every idea started as a seed. Every dream started as a seed. Every great achievement started as a seed. Even the starting of nations started as a seed. Some people left here and went to America. There was already a nation there, of course, with the indigenous Indian people, but they went over with a dream of, you know, a different lifestyle, the pursuit of happiness, the seed of liberty and freedom and so on. And so even nations have started. This church started 126 years ago. This church has been a huge blessing in this community and continues to be a huge blessing. It's constantly planting in seed. Apparently the First Baptist Church, if I'm getting my history right, started in Spitalfields in London in 1612, and George Hyder with Perth doesn't tell me yes or no. Is that right? Do you even know that?
Sure.
You're not sure about that. Is that wrong? Is that wrong? You just don't know, do you? I thought you're the great historian. Anyway, so apparently in London in 1612, the First Baptist Church started in this country, and something was sown in the ground that has reproduced churches all across this nation, across other nations and so on. So it's really exciting, and we can be part of sowing something. Your life started as a seed. You know, when your father's seed connected with your mother's seed, life began. That's how it started, just in case you didn't know. Everything, literally everything on this planet starts with a seed and starts with that seed being sown. If it didn't come from a seed, it's probably not alive today. That's the reality. In Genesis 1, God says, "Let the land have seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit with seed in it according to their varieties." According to their varieties. What we're talking about there, we're talking about planting a variety of seed. Not just one seed, but a variety of seeds. A seed is anything valuable that you give away. Anything you give away that's valuable is a seed that can change someone's life. When you give praise to someone, there's value in that. When you give away good advice, there's value in that. When you give away your time, there's value in that. When you give away money, there's value in that. When you give away your experience to help other people, there's value in that. When you give away a space in your home to look after someone, there's value in that. There's value in food and prayer, support, hospitality, friendship, practical help. Anytime you give something away that has value to it, you are sowing a seed. When you give love away, when you give love to someone else, you are sowing a seed of love. There's value to that. A seed is anything that you do to help somebody else become better at what they do and who they are. It all starts with a seed. Time, money, appreciation, wisdom, energy, whatever. And of course, seeds can be words. And we live in a society that words are really important. And when you're talking with someone that you love, whether it's your children, your husband, your wife, your friends, those seeds can be planted and take root and grow. And I meet, and you meet as well, people that have had seeds sown in them which have not been helpful words, which make them genuinely believe that they're no good, that they're rubbish, that they're not important, that life is not important for them. And so are you planting seeds of good relationship? Are you planting seeds of trust? Or are you planting seeds of distrust? Are you planting seeds of kindness? When did you last cast a seed of kindness into the soil? When did you last plant a seed of meanness, maybe anger and bitterness? Or do you plant seeds that build up, or do you plant seeds that tear down? You will reap what you sow. Principle number two is that nothing happens until the seed is actually planted. Nothing happens till the seed is planted. A seed is no good inside its bag. You know, I've got when my mum died a few years ago, it's really sad and stuff, of course, but when my mum died and we were clearing out the shed, I found absolutely loads of seeds that she just hadn't got around to planting. So I had this big vision of every year, you know, planting seeds to remember my mum and all this kind of thing, and I sort of did it the first year, and the second year kind of forgot about it, and the third year found the seeds at the back of the cupboard and all that kind of thing. Some of them had gone off and so on. But one of the things I did do is I planted some sunflower seeds that she had, and these sunflowers grew up. And of course, you know, the principle is if you plant one seed and you're successful with that sunflower growing, some of them weren't successful, but this sunflower grew up, and of course it was amazing, and it's really tall and it's bright and it's really great, and it made me remember my mum and all that sort of stuff. And then when it died, the thing died, of course my brother-in-law, who runs a garden centre and so on, he said to me, well, just hang it up, dry it, and that will like give you loads more sunflower seeds. And I said, oh, is that how it works? I didn't realise that. Brilliant. So I hung it up in the shed, and of course the next year I hung it up and then we dried it and so on. Then I had like, you know, about 150 sunflower seeds. And so then I planted the next year, I planted about 15 of these, and 10 of them survived, 5 of them got done by the fox or whatever, but 10 of them grew, and I had these 10 massive sunflowers. So every year, I've done this little thing where I just sort of grow these sunflowers, and it's becoming like a sunflower farm in the back of our garden. But the principle is that unless something is buried in the ground and put in the soil, and it won't grow. So some of us are sitting on some things. I found these seeds, and I decided to plant them. Some of us are sitting on some great gifts that God has given us, but they will never grow. You will never grow. Unless you sow that seed, unless you get rid and get it out and get it moving. You know, a farmer goes to a shop and buys the big sack of seed and then puts it in his barn and so on. And if he just left it there because he was too scared to give it away, too scared to actually go out in the field and throw it there, it would just stay in the barn as a bag of seed. But he goes out there with that one bag of seed, fills a field with seed, which then creates millions of other seeds. You see what I mean? And for some of us, we can sit our whole life in fear of letting go of the seed. What if I gave that money away? What might happen? I tell you what might happen. It will become multiplied. What if I showed love to that person? What if I did go and pray for that person when we're asked to go and pray? What if I did step out and share what I felt God saying? And all these kind of things. If we just put everything in a barn and store it away, all that happens is the rats and other animals come in, the birds nick it, and it just goes away. So we need to plant and sow in an act of faith. It's an act of faith when we plant the seed. I believe that something's going to happen. You know, sometimes when I feel God prompt us, me and Paul or whatever, you know, to give some money to someone secretly or to bless something or give more in an offering or whatever it might be, I genuinely believe as we're doing that, this isn't like kind of, yeah, just chucking it in and, yeah, see you later. It's chucking it in and knowing that as I give it and let it go, as I give it back to God and say, God, here you are, God gets involved in that and activates that and multiplies that. And we've seen that time and time again in our lives. And so I want to encourage you, you know, I've not been told to plug the offerings here, but the deacons are all nodding. But I just want to really encourage you. I want to challenge you, like, why not sow a little bit more seed in the offering in this church? Why not just step out a little bit and say, yeah, I've been really faithful and generous, and I've really, you know, paid my tithes and done my duties and all that kind of thing. And I want to say, why not just step out a little bit? Why not just see what God does when you say, well, I'm not quite sure we could afford to. I don't know what might happen. I reckon the principle of sowing and reaping is that as you sow, you will reap. If the farmer held back on that seed, there would be no crop. It would never materialize to anything. Yeah, some birds come and steal some of it. Foxes eat some of it, you know, some of it dries up in the sun, but the reality is a harvest is there. What are you harvesting? You know, planting seeds is risky because you can't see what's happening under the ground. My uncle, he's a fanatic on tomato plants, and we get the inevitable every year he turns up with the tomato plants. And I feel like, oh my gosh, you know, for the next 3 months, I'm responsible for these tomato plants. Because I know he's going to come around or phone and say, how are the tomatoes doing? So I did once actually take a picture in Tesco's of a tomato and sent it to him and said, said they're doing really well, they look great. But I think he pointed out there might have been a different variety. But anyway, but when the seed is in the ground and it's completely covered up and it's all hidden from, you know, from view, there is this sort of almost a thing of, oh, I want to dig it up and see how it's doing. It'd be nice to find out how it's, but we can't do that. When you let it go, let it go. When you show love to someone, when you open your house up for hospitality, when you like give away finances, when you give away your wisdom, let it go. Don't dig it back up again and go, oh yeah, deacons, I did give £125 last week in the offering. What's it been spent on? You give it to God, you let it go. Just let it go. Just give it away and be really, really generous. You know, Jesus said in Mark 4, he said, the kingdom of God is like someone who plants seed in the ground. Night and day, whether the person is asleep or awake, the seed still grows, but the person does not know how it grows. You can't see what's going on, but it will sprout. And God will do something with the seed that we sow. Number three, when I have a need, I should plant the seed. Turn to the person next to you and say, when I have a need, I should plant the seed. When you have a need, plant the seed. When a farmer looks out on his barren crop out there in the field, he doesn't moan and groan and shout and complain. He probably doesn't even pray. He probably just says, I need to get more seed in the ground. The crop's not gone very well. Let's get out there. And for some of us, we kind of have this sort of Christian spirituality where we Ecclesiastes sort of sums it up. It says, do your planting in the morning and in the evening too. You never know whether it will all grow well or whether one planting will do better than the other. You know, there's a phrase, don't put your eggs all in one basket. That's what investors tell us to do. And that, actually, that is from the book of Ecclesiastes. The wisdom of that is true. Don't put your eggs all in one basket. Plant in a whole bunch of areas. Plant in a whole bunch of places. Invest in a whole load of things and watch what happens. The reality is, sometimes the difficulty for us is our Christian spirituality is we're waiting for God to tell us. I think God's actually waiting for you to do it. God's waiting for you to do this and to see what God will do and see what will happen. As you don't need to pray about being generous. You don't need to pray about, should I give this away? Should I do? You need to step out and see what God will happen. And I think for some of you, and I find this a lot of the time with, you know, particularly with Christian singles sometimes, it's almost like they're waiting for God to suddenly drop in the person at church one Sunday morning who's going to be their lifelong partner. And I sort of have to say to them, that just get out there. You probably won't find him in the church this morning. Cool. Where are we going with that? Let's not go too far on that thing. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of single people out there, and they're sort of waiting for God to kind of suddenly bring the person to them. But actually, I just want to say, go and sow. Get out there. Go and sell yourself. Go and get out there and... Not sell yourself. Right, we're definitely stopping. Okay. You might be waiting on God today, but I think God's waiting on you. Right, okay, we'll move forward. So whatever you need more of, I just want to encourage you. Sometimes you actually need to sow that. You need to sow some things. You need to really step out and learn to, whether it's time, money, spiritual gifts, a home, a skill, anything. Start sowing. Start sowing. Start giving things away. Start pouring things into the ground. Start building something for the next 126 years, and not just for today. Not just for like meetings, are so often, aren't they, in leadership and so on. It's about what's happening today. And that's important. But actually, what's going to happen in 126 years because of the decisions we make. Number four, whatever I plant is what I'll reap. This is the principle of reproduction. Whatever I plant is what I'll reap. If a farmer plants a field of beans, what crop should he expect to get? Thank you. Very clever class. So that's what happens. If you plant seeds that are beans, you expect to get beans. You don't expect in a 6 months' time to see watermelons starting to grow in a field if you've planted beans. So what you are planting is what you will reap. So if you're reaping generosity, if we're sowing generosity, we will reap generosity. So you're going to get in life whatever you plant. It's an unbreakable rule in the universe. And this actually this is not a rule for Christians. This is, you know, gravity is not just a rule for Christians. It's not a law of the universe for Christians. Only Christians are affected by gravity. You know, it's a rule that God has created, and so is the rule of sowing and reaping. It is a rule, it's a kind of law, it's a kind of system that God has created in the universe, that as we sow, we will reap. As a farmer sows, so he reaps. As you sow, so you reap. Not to make yourself richer or more famous or more popular or anything like that, but this principle, this unbroken rule, that we will either work against you or for you. The farmer doesn't wonder about what's going to grow. He has no doubt that it will grow. There may be some storms and some difficulties and all those kind of things, but if he plants corn, he is fairly focused on the fact that he will get a crop of corn. So you end up reaping exactly what you plant. And that may be a challenge for some of you today, and you may be thinking, actually, you know what? I've never really thought about life like that. I've never really thought about my marriage, that my marriage isn't going that well, but what am I actually sowing into my marriage? What am I sowing in? Not what am I demanding of my husband or my wife. You know, if only you were, you know, less snappy with me, or if only you talked to me more, or if only we had more time together. Well, then you sow the time, and then you will reap the time. You'll reap a harvest of it. Whatever I dish out is often what you get back in life, isn't it? And we need to be like careful about that. And there are some negative examples of this. So in Job, people who plant trouble harvest it, it says in Job 4, verse 8. People who plant trouble will harvest it. Proverbs 22, 8 says, whoever sows sin reaps weeds. Proverbs 22, verse 8 in the New Living Translation says, those who plant seeds of injustice will harvest disaster. Hosea 10:13 says, you planted wickedness, now you reap evil. Matthew 7, verse 2, whatever measure you use to judge others will be used to measure how you are judged. Now, there are some positive examples. Proverbs 11:18 says, the one who sows righteousness will reap a sure reward. Hosea 10:12, plant good seeds of righteousness, and you'll harvest a crop of love. James 3, verse 18, peacemakers plant seeds of peace, and they reap a harvest of... If you want peace, then you harvest, you sow seeds of peace, and you will harvest goodness. Are you getting the idea? In the Bible, it's full of these kind of metaphors and these kind of opposite extremes. Do this, you reap that. Don't do that, and you won't get this. And so the law of the harvest is you will reap what you sow with your children, your wife, your husband, your business, your friends. You will reap in this church what you sow. And in 200 and something years, this church will reap what you sow in the ground today. Some of the seed that you plant will take more than 1 year to grow. It might be 2, 3, 4, 5, 20, 50, 60, 100 years. But the church will only reap what you plant, what you stick in the ground, what you invest into the future for the next anniversary that will come the way of this church. It will either work against you or for you. You know, I meet, and you probably do, I meet lots of parents who are quite angry, and I'm not surprised that their children are quite angry. Because you're sowing. If you're constantly shouting at your kids, if that's the way you discipline your, you know, and all of that, then it's not surprising that your children are difficult and they can be a handful and so on, because you're sowing in anger. But if you sow in patience, you're likely to get children that reap patience. They have a different sort of life. I cannot sow irresponsibility and reap success. I can't sow laziness and then expect a reward. I can't sow stinginess and reap generosity. It's just the principle. It doesn't work. The Bible's full of examples, both negative and positive. You know, Jacob's name was supplanter. It meant that he was going to cheat people. Can you imagine being named a cheat? Oh, look at that son. I'm going to call him a cheat. You will be a cheater. Not a cheater, animal, cheaters. And what did Jacob do? He lived out that what was sown in his life. What was prophesied over him at birth. He cheated his brother. He cheated his dad. You know what ended up happening? His father-in-law cheated on him. He reaped what he sowed. Haman was a man who was reaped in bitterness. Absolutely bitter to the core. And he sowed a gallows. He built a big, massive gallows which was ready for Mordecai to be hung on. And he was proud of it, and he sewed it, and he built it, and he invested in it, and made it happen. And of course, the very sad thing is that actually it was him that was hung on the gallows. He reaped what he sowed. He sowed a gallows, and he reaped a gallows for himself. Galatians 6, 7-8 says, the person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others and ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. That's all we'll have to show for this life. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the work, do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real eternal life. You're going to harvest whatever you plant. We're going to harvest whatever we plant. That's why this church has gone so well. That's why it's a fantastic place. It's why you've been able to do all the things that you've been able to do, because there's been people here who spent their life investing here, planting seeds in here. And many of us come on the top of that, and we reap the harvest of that. There were people that went long before us that we're reaping their harvest. So the next 126 years require a huge sense of sowing. Of us sowing, of us putting in to the ground, of us investing into the ground. Everything starts with a seed, and nothing will happen until that seed is planted. Whenever I have a need, we need to plant a seed. Whatever we see potentially happening in the future in this church, just plant a seed now. You may not see the harvest of it with your own eyes, but that's because we live by faith. The Bible encourages, doesn't it, particularly in the Old Testament, to live a life of faith where we may not see with our own eyes the end result. But because it's mine and it's I and it's all of that kind of me stuff, it's sometimes really hard to say, no, actually, let's sow some things that we may never see in our days. Maybe there's some adjustments, some things we need to do, but we will never see the fulfillment in our time. But there'll be a whole generation that will be blessed. The children of this church will be blessed because of some of the things that we decide to do. It may not suit us, it may not suit our style right now and so on, but we're going to invest in the future. You know, you start it, you know, you go for it, you do it. And I think there's a challenge, I think, you know, because if you start something, some of you today may be feeling like, you know what, the reality is, I really want to step out in faith more. I want to live more an adventure. I want to have some crazy stories to tell about in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, in 50 years' time. I want to have some stories to tell. Well, then today, make a decision to sow more than you've ever done. You determine the future generations of your family name. By what you do today, by what you're sowing, will determine the future of your family name, of what's going to happen. Are they going to be blessed? Is there going to be seeds planted in their life of prayer and love and godliness and the generosity and faith and all those sorts of things? And there are people that are going to come out of your family tree that will have a blessed heritage because we invested, we sowed into the future of grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren that we may never meet on this planet, but we're going to invest in their future. In prayer. And what about maybe adding to your prayer list the prayer of some children that are yet to be born in your family line? How amazing would that be? To start sowing seeds of prayer over the not the next generation, but the next generation after. There'll be amazing men and women of God. You know, we're not the only sower, are we? You know, Jesus said this in John 4. He said, I sent you to reap where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work before you, and now you will go and gather the harvest. You know, there's going to be some seed that's been planted that you guys are going to reap. I actually believe that for you. It felt like God said to me this morning, there's going to be some seed that's been sown for you as a church that you're going to reap, that you did nothing for it. You did no work for it. You didn't plant it. Someone else planted it for you. You know, I think there's something really important about, as Christians sometimes, we're really private about our giving, aren't we, and our money, and I'm not saying right now it comes up on the screen and everything that you all give comes up and we all go, oh, wow, didn't you know, and so on. But, you know, I do think that as a family, we often neglect talking to our children about, you know, we're going to give this. We're going to give this away. We're going to sow this as a family. We're going to invest this in the next generation. We're going to give this into the offering for this particular event we're doing or this thing we're trying to buy as a church or whatever it might be. And we talk about that as a family and we try to encourage our families. Just talk about this. Don't keep it all private. And I know somewhere it says, you know, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing, all that kind of stuff. But we need to let our children see the miracle of God, that as we invest and as we sow, we also reap. And the children need to be caught up with that. And sometimes God has done amazing miracles in our family life and stuff when we prayed for things that we really needed. And we don't kind of go, well, let's keep that hidden from the kids. Don't let them know. God did a miracle for us. We prayed about this and God's provided it. Let's not let them know. We want them to be on both ends. We want them to know about sowing and reaping. That's the heritage. That's what we're living for. So are we leaving a legacy of generosity and or stinginess? Are we leaving a legacy of faith or of fear? Because we're not the only ones sowing. Other people are sowing into this generation as well. And we need to step up and take responsibility for that. Okay, just kind of landing this quickly to finish. I think we need to understand that we mustn't be patient and not give up. You know, you might be waiting for seed that you've planted many years ago. And it's just not grown yet. You've not seen the fruition of that prayer you prayed or that thing that you sowed. And I want to just say that today, don't become impatient. God is at work. His Spirit is at work. Because you reap in a season, you will reap in a different season that you sowed in. Galatians 6 says this: let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and don't give up. We have to be patient. Proverbs 11 verse 24 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So the best time to plant is now. The best time to plant is not to wait for another season or for another harvest time or for another summer. The best time to plant is now, not when I retire. And I'm going to get serious about God when I retire. I'm going to get serious about God when I finish my college course. I'm going to get serious about God when I get married. I'm going to be serious about God when the children have left the nest. I'm going to get serious about God when I get a new job. Now let's get serious about God now. Let's not make an excuse. Ecclesiastes 4 says, those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds, and those who look at every cloud will never reap a harvest. There may be some clouds in your life. There may be a season that you're in, but don't wait for perfect weather. Don't wait for the perfect conditions. The perfect conditions are today. Perfection paralyzes potential. There's huge potential in this room, and perfection can completely paralyze that. And this is not a day for perfection. This is a day for faith. God will never ask you to do anything by yourself. Never, never, never. He'll always ask you to do it with him. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you as a church, because you're an amazing community, to get to 126 years. I know none of you were here when it started. Well, maybe a couple of you. But I know, I know that none of you were here when this church started. But you're here, and you're pressing on, and you're pushing through, and you're believing faith that God will do things. You're believing for salvation. You're believing for growth. You're believing for multiplication. You're believing for God to change things as you give money overseas and as you invest in people, as you lay hands on people and pray for people. You're believing it. So I just want to pray a prayer that kind of almost like seals that and says, yeah, come on, for the future, let's reap some of the stuff that's been planted. But let's also be a church that starts planting more than maybe we've ever done. Maybe we're sort of hoping someone else to do it, but maybe God today is saying, no, stop letting the perfectionism paralyze you. Stop being so fearful and step out and ask God to help you. So I wonder if we could just bow our heads and pray before I finish. Father, thank you so much for this amazing family. Thank you so much for this church and for all that's happened here. 126 years of sowing and reaping, of generosity and kindness, of challenging decisions, of leadership transitions, of life and death, Lord. And as we read that Ecclesiastes passage, all of that has happened in this place over many, many years. And so I just pray, Jesus, today that people here will have faith to do what they're being called to do for the future. I thank you in advance for the answers to all the prayers that we've had in our lives. And I also thank you in advance for the achievement of all the goals that we've set and the things that we've set in faith that have happened. And so I just pray today, Jesus, that some amazing seeds will be sown and some amazing harvest will come up. And I really pray for some of the seed that's been sown over the years that's not yet been harvested. I pray, Jesus, for some amazing breakthroughs in this congregation, in this family. They will see some incredible breakthroughs where they did not expect it. It will suddenly harvest, because they maybe didn't even sow it, but it's their harvest for taking. So Jesus, thank you for all the people here. Thank you, you love them, you're for them, not against them. You have plans to prosper them and not to harm them. So I pray you'd send your Spirit, you would send your sense of peace over them, and this church will thrive and grow and just do amazing things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul, for both your blessings and your challenges. So much to think about. Too often we think about our investment portfolios having a pound sign, but I think what Paul has opened up is there are many more important things than those that have a pound sign attached to them. And we need to leave a legacy as well as be people of the present. If you've been stirred up this morning by what Paul has shared or through anything else in the service, please do join with the prayer ministry team at the end of the service, who will be delighted just to enable you to hear God. That's their fundamental role, to enable you to hear God.